to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Horrible things are happening on this planet these days. I'm sure you're aware of far more of them than you'd like. Also, however, amazing things are happening too. Most of us are aware of recent brain research that's happening. We're understanding our own brains so we can work with them better. And traditional medicine and surgery are slowly making way for energy healing and energy medicine. Our guest today offers us an approach to energy healing that's nothing short of miraculous. It's something everyone can do. It can create profound physical healing, and it has now been introduced all over the world. My guest today is Dr. Eric Pearl, who is author of The Reconnection and of Solomon Speaks. Welcome to Full Power Living, where we're dedicated to awakening the world to the power and importance of human emotions. Dr. Eric Pearl is an international leading authority on transforming healing, utilizing what is called information medicine. He's the author of The Reconnection, now published in 36 languages, and it's a book that chronicles his transformation from a highly successful Los Angeles chiropractor into a reconnective healing practitioner. He walked away from this successful chiropractic practice and committed himself to imparting the light and information of the reconnective healing process. He's appeared on countless programs, including Dr. Oz. You can find him at thereconnection.com. Dr. Pearl appeared on Full Power Living in the summer of 2013, and he's returning now to update us on developments in his work. Dr. Eric Pearl, it's indeed a delight to have you on Full Power Living again. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
I want to start with a little bit of a review from our previous visit. The healing that you do was discovered when your chiropractic patients started reporting miraculous and lasting healings from things like cancer or AIDS-related disease, chronic fatigue, arthritis, and other serious afflictions, even though you hadn't laid a finger on them. So can you recap that story for our listeners and so we can bring them up to speed on how this all got started?
Absolutely. What had happened was I had been practicing as a doctor of chiropractic for 12 years, and one night, in the middle of the night, I kind of was awakened by a bright light. I opened my eyes to see what it was, and it wasn't anything seemingly, you know, unusual in the way of spiritual or metaphysical or something. It was just a lamp next to my bed. For some reason, it had managed to turn itself on, I guess. I know electrical things happen. They turn themselves off, and we refer to them as electrical shorts. I don't usually see them turning themselves on, but this one came on. And at the same time, I also noticed that my bedroom door was open, which is strange because I close it before I go to sleep. So I thought, you know, I wonder if someone's in the house. And
yeah.
I got up with a knife and an old can of pepper spray and my Doberman pincher, and I went looking through the house to see who might be there. And after searching and searching and searching, I finally decided that seemed to be there. And it had to be my imagination. So I went back to sleep. When I went into my office on that Monday morning, my patients started reporting unusual things. First of all, they were telling me that they could feel my hands on them, even when I wasn't touching them. They told me that they were feeling multiple pairs of hands on their bodies simultaneously, at their feet and their head, and their back and their front. And as I would move my hands in various directions, it seemed to involuntarily cause their bodies to move. It would make their fingers move, their arms and legs jump. And this is when they were lying there with their eyes closed, when they opened their eyes. They started reporting seeing colors they'd never seen, smelling flowers they'd never smelled. And they started demonstrating and reporting healings, real healings. They were getting up out of wheelchairs. Vision and hearing was returning. Kids who had cerebral palsy or epilepsy were suddenly able to walk and run and see and speak normally, not have seizures, not need medications. Their doctor started calling, asking what I had done. I said, I didn't do anything. Don't tell anybody. The more I said that, the more people started coming in from everywhere saying they wanted the same thing. And the next thing we know, people started asking me to teach this. And I said, teach it. You've got to be crazy. I don't know how to teach what this is. I'm waving my hands in the air, moving my fingers around, feeling like an idiot. And I said, you go outside, wave your hands in the air. Tell me what your neighbors say about you. But more and more, my patients would report that when they drove home from my office, they pulled up in front of their house, their automatic garage door started to open and close by itself, or they felt when they walked into their house, the lamp of the TV started turning off and on, they felt sensations in their hands, they would hold their hands by something badly. Suddenly, the grandmother could walk again, or after the stroke, or the uncle gained his hearing, and that's when we began to start to recognize that once we interact with what today science calls the reconnective healing spectrum, that something changes within us when we interact with this. It's not just the energies we've had here with Reiki or Qigong. It's a far more expansive spectrum of healing energy that includes all the gifts we've had through any of our known energy healing techniques here on the planet, and gives us more, even bringing in aspects of light and information that they haven't seen before. And once we interact with this, we're changed in such a fashion that we're not only able to access our own healings, but we're able to learn how to utilize this, which is what we teach, in a way to facilitate healings for other people as well.
Yes, a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in your introductory class, and you walk in there and you think, I don't know how to do this. This is crazy. And you see people demonstrating and so forth. And then as you're led through the exercise and get feedback from other people, you realize that indeed it is something that we can do. And it seems as I was reading the Solomon Speaks, it seems that this is called reconnection because you're actually reconnecting with your larger self, your spiritual self. Is my understanding correct of that?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. It's called reconnective healing. And it's called that because we are reconnecting with our fuller self, the part of us that we interact with and experience in between, I should say, our lifetimes, when we, if you ever speak to someone who's had a life after death or a near-death experience, and talk about returning to that light, and suddenly in that space we see ourselves more fully, we understand the meaning of everything, and we are more fully the truth of who and what we are. We are learning to become that here and now, and reconnective healing allows us to reconnect to that fullness that we experience in between lifetimes, but to be able to manifest and experience that consciousness and live it here on Earth, which is not just consciousness the way we think of it, meaning thought, but we actually manifest that fuller existence. So we return to a state of healthy balance, and anything that's not in health, anything that's fallen out of balance, has a tendency to want to return that optimal state of balance.
And Solomon is also saying that this being able to do this, being able to participate in this plane or to operate there, is where we're all going. Do I understand that correctly?
I believe that's where we all are. We have been viewing the concept of healing as regaining the use, something as simple as regaining the use of an arm or a leg or a liver or a kidney or vision or hearing. But really, healing is our evolution. Now, we are seeing this more specifically through reconnective healing than through our energy healing techniques or anything we've seen before. actually documented through the scientific research, which is showing that, well, let's say, of the approximately couple dozen studies that have been done on reconnective healing, six of them so far have been specifically focused on the effects of DNA. And these six studies have shown that reconnective healing actually restructures, or as I would say, of course, reconnects, but you know, they say restructures our very DNA in a certain way, which means, well, let's look at it this way. Today we know our bodies don't heal the way we used to be taught, the way we used to learn in medical and related health care schools, was that the body healed through biochemicals. Well, today the biochemical model is dead. It's obsolete pretty much. We know that the body heals through frequency, vibration, informational exchange, entrainment, resonance, and it's communicated via light. The light model explains a lot of things that the biochemical model couldn't explain. For instance, if you injure a part of your body, the information has to travel from that part of your body up to your brain, and your brain has to send signals out to produce biochemicals, and the biochemicals have to be sent from where they're produced to that part of your body. The light model explains how we have instantaneous response to things, because there's no time involved for travel. And we know that our DNA emits levels of light. This is no longer just a concept of spirituality and religion. We know from the works of Dr. Fritz Alan Popp in Germany and others who are continuing his work that our DNA emits specific levels of light. When our health is diminishing, that light is often measurably dimming. When that light is coming back up, it's often an indicator that our health is coming back up. So what the studies have shown specifically with reconnective healing is it changes the light that we emit from our cells, from our DNA, making it more coherent, which is a scientific term for more harmonic. And what is it than when we fall away from health anyway, which is really a loss of harmony, a disharmony within us. And therefore, as the light returns to a more coherent harmonic level through reconnective healing, we regenerate, we reorganize, we leave dis-ease, and we return to a state of health and ease.
So how is it, that's a wonderful explanation, thank you very much. How is it that a person who doesn't have the understanding and the training can also do this? That you have, the understanding and the training that you have, you know, the medical background, the other things that you've learned about the body. You know, I've been a social worker, for example, and I can also do this. Is it because it's an innate knowledge or because we're tuning in to the universal intelligence? What is it that works there?
How is it that you don't need a background in mainstream healthcare to be able to do this work? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Right. Okay. It took me a second. Because a background in mainstream healthcare doesn't help us. Because a background in mainstream healthcare is very linear. It's mechanical. It's, you know, you do this for this problem, for that problem, the need generates this and the brain generates that. What reconnective healing is really is a way to feel, to receive, to listen at a higher level, to listen what in a way that people call active listening, to not just listen to the noises and the sounds that we hear every day, but to listen in a way that it allows us to feel certain sensations. And once we access these feelings and these sensations, we are communicating with the other person on a different level, and there becomes an entrainment. This is complex to explain without being able to demonstrate with my hands. But let me see if I can figure this out. First of all, what I would say more simply is that the type of education that you're speaking about of becoming a doctor or a physical therapist is really has very little to do with this. And the type of education that you're not speaking about, but I'll add into there, about being an energy healing practitioner, such as Reiki, Jinshin, Duray, Qigong, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Gamma, Quantum this, Mattress that, those educations also become a limitation, because these educations, either way, teach us to approach things by looking at the diagnostic name or the simple surface, what we believe is the cause of a problem. It teaches us to diagnose, figure out what we think is wrong, and then attempt to treat that situation. And that's perfectly fine if you're an allopathic medical doctor. That's a great approach. You should diagnose the person and you should treat them appropriately according to their diagnosis. Unfortunately, in the medical world, we have attempted to co-opt this model, and this model does not serve us at the highest level. What we learn through reconnective healing is to come in and feel sensations. And it's easy for us to say, oh, I never feel anything. But as you probably are aware from taking even the simplest form of reconnective healing, Everyone seems to learn how to feel and access the reconnective healing frequencies. And our feeling of this allows our brains to start to function at a different level, where we entrain or attune to the other person's feelings, frequencies, and their brain levels. So think of a tuning fork. Most of us know what a tuning fork is. If you bang a tuning fork against your hand, it starts to vibrate at a certain level. It emits a certain tune. And if you hold a second tuning fork up near it, it picks up on those waves. They entrain together. They vibrate similarly. Or if you take two pianos next to each other, you strike one note on one piano, the corresponding string on the other piano will vibrate similarly. You strike a string on one guitar, a guitar nearby, the corresponding string will vibrate similarly. Or if you have a lot of women who are working closely together in the workspace, their menstrual cycles will often go under the same cycle, on the same cycle. This is what we call entrainment. And this is how the body heals. It vibrates to a higher level. It entrains with a higher frequency. So in reconnective healing, you learn how to become that higher frequency of energy, light, and information. And as you become that and vibrate at that, everyone else's nature is to vibrate up at that level similarly. And so you don't have to worry about taking on negativity, because you don't vibrate down. Everyone else vibrates up. This is difficult for the mindset of a classically trained physician, for example.
Yes, I happen to be married to one of those, so I do understand that. And that explains part of what Solomon talks about, in that what you've just described is what I remember from the book, of you blending yourself with the other person and literally healing yourself and thereby healing that other individual. What you're really doing is raising your vibration, and because of entrainment and resonance, their vibration comes up to yours, correct?
Right, but correct. And let's not shortchange, though, medical doctors when we're shortchanging the medical educational approach. Those are two different things. Because I've taught now close to 100,000 people around the world in seminars such as the one that you've attended how to do reconnective healing. And a good 20% of them, which I guess would translate to about 20,000 of them, are mainstream healthcare practitioners, medical doctors, chiropractors, osteopaths, nurses, physical therapists, even medical researchers.
Yes. And what I'm also aware of, I've sort of worked a lot with my husband, who is now a retired neurosurgeon, and I've been a very dedicated alternative medicine person in my life. So we've spent the last 20 years trying to understand each other and pull these things together. And I have a great deal of respect for his knowledge and his caring and his service. And yet, from my perspective, that particular form of medical approach, as you were saying, the diagnosis and then treating for the diagnosis, and especially after you read Solomon Speaks, it's like it's not big enough for what we can actually do. It's limited. Plus, we've had a few people on this show, Dr. Platt, I can think of, for one, who are quite distressed about the fact that we're more treating symptoms than cause in Western medicine in many instances. So not to take away from what such people and what people who are trained in that way and work that way do, but to recognize that we're constantly moving forward and what you're offering is next steps. Is that not so?
Correct. It's next steps into, well, you know, energy medicine is a funny word because it's actually energy healing or energy healthcare. Alternative complementary or integrative medicine is a Madison Avenue term that medicine must have paid Madison Avenue for to come up with, because it's really alternative complementary or integrative healthcare. Medicine is not the diamond. Medicine is a beautiful facet of the diamond. The diamond is healthcare. Is medicine. Another facet is chiropractic. Another facet is osteopathy. Another facet is acupuncture. They're all equally beautiful, exquisite facets of the diamond of healthcare. But, or and, this field of what used to be called energy medicine, which is more appropriately called energy healthcare, is the fastest growing field on the planet right now. And I'm very, very, very pleased to say that reconnective healing is the forefront, the foreground of that field. We are the largest, most well-known, respected form of energy healing on the planet today. If you go pretty much anywhere and you look into what's going on, reconnective healing is what's happening at all levels. It's allowing us to change the face of healthcare on the planet and bring about a shift, a change from the diagnostic model of looking for what we consider the problem and then treating according to what we consider the problem to be, and then finding out that the problem in the liver is not caused by the liver, but maybe it's caused by the kidney or the pituitary or the big toe for all we know. And it allows us to instead feed the ego by saying, I found the problem and I fix it, to rise to a higher level of becoming the witness and the witnessed, the seer and the seen, the observer and the observed. And when we allow ourselves to rise to that level of feeling, sharing, witnessing, and observing, what we find is that the perfect intelligence of God, love, and the universe determines the most perfect orchestration of the healing.
Okay. You know, you bring up something there that I know is covered quite a bit by Solomon, and I'd just like to bring that out. You bring out the whole issue of ego. Now, when you say that reconnective healing is at the forefront and it's the largest movement and so forth, as I understand it, that's not you coming from your own ego saying we're the biggest and the best. That's you stating a fact of what's going on. And in fact, to do the reconnective healing, you must get your ego out of the way or get yourself out of the way and allow the light flow or the energy flow to move. Yes?
It's a requirement, and it's part of really what we learn.
Uh-huh.
Now, we should clarify for the audience, when you're speaking about Solomon, you're referring to the book Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life,
right,
which is the second book that we've written. The first book that I've written is called The Reconnection, Heal
yes.
Others, Heal Yourself. And the second book is Solomon Speaks. Now, these are two different books, very much so. The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, is a book that basically chronicles the history of reconnective healing, the theory,
right,
some of the science behind it, and it includes a basic how-to. So you can begin to learn how to do reconnective healing on a basic personal level. It doesn't make you a reconnective healing practitioner any more than reading a book on hairstyling or dentistry makes you a dentist or a hairstylist. You'll take better care of you and your family's hair and teeth, and you'll take better care of your own health, but it doesn't make you a professional. But it does teach you the beginnings of how to start to work with it. And for people who want to really learn how to do reconnective healing, we teach the reconnective healing seminars of the training programs, basically in level 1 and 2. So what we do when we do these programs is that we don't get to do a lot in the United States. So I just finished one in Philly, and the next one in the United States that I'm going to do is that very unique weekend of 9/11, September 11th.
Wow.
We'll be in very important weekend. We'll be in September 11th in Los Angeles at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel downtown. But what we'll do on that Friday night, September 11th, is we'll give a 3-hour presentation where we speak about the history of reconnective healing, the theory, the science, the philosophy. We'll bring up volunteers from the audience and give live demonstrations of the healing so you can witness that. And we'll even begin to let you feel this in your hands and start to teach you how to utilize it on that Friday night, the 11th. But September 12th and 13th is the level 1 of the training program where we teach you how to do this work on a very personal level for self-healing and to help a little bit for your friends and family. And what will happen at the seminars, if you attend, for example, is that I'll demonstrate a level of the work from the stage. And then we'll all go to massage tables. So you might stand at the head of a massage table while someone else will lie down on the massage table. And I will show you how to feel these frequencies with your hands. The teaching assistants and I will come around you at the tables, show you how to find these frequencies, feel them, play with them. And you will witness right in front of your very eyes. You will witness the person on the table go into involuntary movements.
Mm-hmm.
Their fingers, their feet, their arms, their legs, then you'll trade places with them. So you get to experience those involuntary movements while they're working with you. We'll go back to the chairs. We'll talk some more. On that Friday night, the 11th, we'll have given live demonstrations of the healings on audience volunteers. So you'll have already seen it start to work on Friday night. We'll continue this way through Saturday and Sunday with question and answer and philosophy and more learning at the tables. But for those of you who want to learn this at a professional level, which doesn't mean you have to become a professional, it just means that you want to be able to do reconnective healing at its highest level for whoever you do it for, family, friends, or professionally, you have the option. We'll continue with the training program on that Monday and Tuesday, September 14 and 15. And what will happen is we'll be bringing people in from outside the seminar, strangers, people from the public who don't know what to expect. You'll start with your first professional sessions then. We'll teach you how to talk about the work, how to present it to people. We'll teach you how to do it via distance. We'll teach you how to work holographically. We'll teach you levels of subtlety and nuance that will bring about amazing responses in the person that you're working with and within yourself. It's a brand new program, only about a year and a half old. It's very different than the trainings that we've been doing since the late 1990s and all the way up through now. And by the end of that training program, by the 15th of September, I can pretty much make you 2 promises, which are A, you will be able to do anything and everything in the way of healing that I can do. And B, I can pretty much promise you that you will be able to do anything and everything in this field of energy healing and beyond, that any human being anywhere on this planet can do, no matter how many techniques they've studied, they've created, or they've mastered, whether they were raised in a cave in a mountaintop in Tibet, fed grains of seed, each one blessed by its own individual lama, whether they opened a church in Brazil, or whether they come from a family lineage of healings, it makes no difference, because what reconnective healing offers us is A, the ability to rise above and completely transcend our complicated techniques, fear-based protections and rituals to bring about healings that, according to the researchers and what you'll see, most likely are fairly instantaneous and tend to be lifelong. The only challenge is whether or not we're willing to let go of and transcend our techniques. The gift of reconnective healing is that it allows us to completely demystify the healing process so it can be clear and transparent for everyone. And the challenge is whether or not we're willing to demystify the healing process. So the questions then become, if we're not willing to let go of our techniques to facilitate greater, more instantaneous, comprehensive healings, we need to ask ourselves why. If we're not willing to demystify the healing process and allow it to become clear and transparent for everyone, we need to ask ourselves why. And if we're not willing to ask ourselves why, then we need to ask ourselves why we are not willing to ask ourselves why, because it is within the honest search for the answer to that question that lies the key to our mastery. Mm-hmm. That's the first book, The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. The second book, the one you're about, is called Solomon Speaks, or Solomon Speaks on Reconnecting Your Life. The second book teaches us how to more fully become and fine-tune the healing instrument that we are. So one is about the how-to, and the second book, Solomon Speaks, is about becoming that healing instrument and fine-tuning the healing instrument that we already are. So you could say one teaches you how to play the piano, the other one teaches you how to become and fine-tune the piano.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really wonderful. And let me just add in, I know you said that you're not doing too many in the U.S., but your website is thereconnection.com, and there it's announced that you are also teaching in Brazil, Colombia, Germany, Croatia, London, Belgium, and Dubai between now and November. So just for anyone who's listening who's in other areas of the world, they can go to thereconnection.com and find out more about those other workshops as well. Is that correct?
That's absolutely accurate.
Okay, good.
All over the globe.
Yeah, and the Reconnection, the book, in your materials at any rate, you say it's already been translated into 36 languages. So this really is going everywhere. And that has that been happening? There's a feeling of effortlessness, as in when something is right, when its time has come, it receives all kinds of help. And from the individual viewpoint, almost seems effortless in its accomplishment. Is that true for this?
You know, it's a combination of two things. You know, there's no such thing as an overnight success. An overnight success means you didn't hear about it yesterday and you heard about it today.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see what leads up to it. Yet, on the other hand, you're also absolutely correct in what you say. So there's more than one dimension of viewing things. The reality is reconnective healing, and the book, The Reconnection itself, is an international bestseller. You write in 39 languages, actually.
Ah.
Now, how does this happen? People get interested in it. How do people come to the reconnective healing seminars? I guess they find it on the internet or on a TV or a radio show. They look at it, they realize it doesn't give us complex techniques. And it doesn't give us fear-based rituals. It doesn't give us superstitions. It gives us plain, simple, ambiguous, real science. And so the seminars for reconnective healing are very different than the energy healing seminars. Even the people who come, to the reconnective healing seminars tend to be anywhere from their mid to late teens. Well, I will tell you that some kids come as early as 8, 9, 10. But most people range from their late teens, early 20s, through their 50s, but actually 60s, 70s, and some people even come past their 80s. It's an even balance of people between male and female. It's usually anywhere from 40-60 to 50-50. You don't see any more the people coming in crazy chiffon, tie-dyed outfits, the turbans around their head, the moon and star earrings. Everyone is grounded, everyday people, whether you're coming in at the level of bus drivers and department store employees, whether you're coming in at the labels of healthcare practitioners, such as doctors or nurses, whether you're coming in as bankers or electricians or plumbers or CEOs of companies or just heads of households, with or without their family. It's a mainstream cross-section of the world that comes to learn reconnective healing. And that's very key. I particularly love the seminars that I'm able to give in the United States because I can speak. I've got time to do more. I don't have to edit quite as much because in most seminars, it's translated around the world into anywhere from 2 to 7 or 8 languages at a time. Sometimes it looks like the United Nations.
Mm.
So in Los Angeles, it'll be straight English, which is easy to work. There's one more English seminar this year, and that will be in London, October 16th through 20th. So Los Angeles is September 11th through 15th, and London is October 16th through 20th. I have a very exciting life. Thank you. And I'll tell you, I'm saying that because I think it's our responsibility, each and every one of us, to have an exciting life. I know that you love the gift that you have. You have the ability to share knowledge, information, and potential first experiences with a lot of people. In your realm as a journalist, this is how you are a healer. I believe that most people, as I look around the world, very many people, tend to take on jobs or occupations, even careers, that may have inspired them in the beginning, or may even from the beginning have simply been about the income, and become old, boring, and tiring, and don't make their hearts sing. And yet, when they come to Reconnective Healing seminars, they find that they have the potential not only to learn Reconnective Healing for themselves, but to take it on as a healthcare career, which gives them an opportunity, whether early in life, mid-course, or late in life, to say, I have an opportunity to have a profession that allows me to support myself or myself and my spouse and my family by doing something that I look forward to every morning that makes my heart sing. I get up, I go into my office space, or I've got a home office space, and all I do all day, every day, is I touch as many people as possible with the light and love of healing. And I think just like birds know when it's time to fly north and when it's time to fly south, they just know it's the right thing. I believe that we are not listening to our inner consciousness, which is our heart. And what makes our heart sing is what really we're being told is what we want to contribute as much time toward every day, all day, every day. And that can become the way that we learn to support ourselves. And I think that's really, really, really exciting.
Right. And I to add to that, I know that in Solomon Speaks, there's a lot of discussion about service and how the service brings you to the joy. Just parenthetically, I also have worked for 43 years as a clinical social worker in California. So working with people in my office as a therapist has brought me that kind of joy. And I enjoyed reading Solomon Speaks as a healer, a different kind of healer, because I've been following a more spiritual path over the years, and I found a lot of affirmation. So it almost feels like, okay, a lot of us are going in this flow that is discussed. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you took this seminar in 2013, where?
Sacramento. Mm-hmm.
Is that where you live?
I live in the Bay Area, in the East Bay.
Uh-huh. Well, what I was thinking is if you want, I will be happy to invite you as a guest, and you can report on it to your listenership to attend the Level 1 in Los Angeles.
Wow.
It's a new program. It is not what you would learn before.
What an offer. I'm in the position where, speaking of healing, my husband has stage 4 prostate cancer, and so I'm at home a lot with him, so I will have to let you know about taking you up on that offer, which I greatly appreciate. Arrange for care to be looked after at home before I can say yes. But my heart says yes. Thank you.
Well, your heart is what you want to listen to, and the rest of which, if it's right, then your heart and your life will orchestrate the circumstances where someone can handle and take care lovingly of your husband, maybe a Friday night, Saturday and Sunday. And because of that, you will hopefully be able to return to him with a greater gift and capacity to be of assistance on that level.
Absolutely. I would love to. However, there is a point that's brought up in Solomon Speaks that's one that I've wrestled with. And that is that you can do healing with people, but you can't necessarily save them from dying because they have their own path.
Now tell me what is the wrestle that you have with that point? Because it makes perfect sense to me.
Well, I'm in the position where someone I love has an illness that is, at this point, going to kill him. I've offered many alternative things to him, or different things than the regular medical treatment, and it's not his path, and it seems to me, I mean, I'm just in a quandary, in the sense of, it looks to me like he is on his way to dying, and it could be possible that he doesn't have to, but do I intervene or do I allow him to do what he's marked out his path to do?
Well, you can't intervene. It's not possible for you, so you don't have to make it that powerful.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All you can really do is offer healing. And if the healing is received, you've been granted permission, and he's been granted permission for that healing to be received by whatever intelligence really matters. But realize that that greater intelligence, whether we call it God or love or Allah or the intelligence of the universe, whether we call it Helen, for all that matters, knows the larger picture. So what is the larger picture here? I mean, first of all, there are some people under the misconception that means that healing means we should never die. And really, from what most people know who go through the life after death experience and come back and share with us, is that it's part of our design to go through many lifetimes, many different experiences, to come back and experience life as a male, as a female, as someone with this personality or that personality, in this relationship with these people, that relationship with another person. It's part of our cycling to do this. And there are old souls, there are new souls, depending on how we cycle through and how we are learning our lessons, which can't all be learned in one specific lifetime. As they say in a very beautiful movie that I mentioned in the book, The Reconnection, the movie's called Resurrection with Ellen Burstyn.
Oh, right.
Some people may need illness to give love, some to get love. And to expand upon that point, really, we often talk about going through our experiences for our lessons, but we don't always look at the bigger picture. What are the lessons we're helping others with? For all you know, your husband is taking on what he's taken on to help you gain patience and a larger world perspective.
And it's working.
That it's not about changing. But it is. You know, when you've got one parent that you're really close with and that parent dies younger than the other one, maybe it's part of the relationship, part of the agreement that says, and here's how you will develop a stronger, better relationship with the living parent. Here's how you learn compassion. Here's how we... So, for all you know, this is important for him to contribute as part of his agreement to your experience. And maybe when the lesson is complete, it might mean that, okay, well, you've gotten your thing, and now there's a change in his health. But maybe when the lesson is complete, it's time for him to move on because he has more lessons to do. And these are things that we don't get to understand here as fully, but we're here to look for. In The Reconnection, in the first book, well, as you probably know, I assume you know, my mother died giving birth to me. All right. Came back to life and talked about her experience. And in chapter two of The Reconnection, it's a lot of in-depth sharing of what her life after death experience was in that and understanding. And I might suggest, if you are in the frame of mind to do it, that you read through that chapter two again. There mm-hmm. are perspectives. I don't believe that we're here to live forever. I believe that we're here to live our lifetimes a certain way. So maybe as difficult as it is to lose a loved one, especially as difficult as it is for certain personalities to say, why aren't you doing what I know is best for you? maybe there's a reason for that too. I bet that really my belief is there is a reason for everything.
Yes.
Everything makes perfect sense when we are able to look at it from a different perspective.
Yes. And I also, from my own personal experience here, will accept or admit that it's also very, very difficult to get at times to get outside of it to see what you're learning. But I do want to affirm that just yesterday I was telling somebody that a big part of my learning with my husband's illness is for me to develop patience and compassion. I have seen that I really did need to do that. So your words are very apropos for my experience. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, and thank you for saying that. And one of the things Solomon speaks about is that we are here to learn compassion, to recognize that everyone is touching and no one is touching. We are all like rays of the sun. We appear as individual rays of the sun, but we're really holograms and total representations of the sun. We appear as separate individuals, but we're really all holographically representations of God, love, and the intelligence of the universe. And when we start to learn to see that, we start to ask higher questions. We've been asking questions of what makes me special and what makes me unique and what is my purpose here and what is me, and those are great questions. And yet, to rise above the what makes me special and unique concept is to learn to comfortably look at others and say, what makes you and I the same? This is what we're afraid to do. Something that allows us to recognize that when one child cries in one part of the planet, 100 children weep in another. When one child laughs, 1,000 children laugh. So when we recognize that we are the same, we start to see that we're part of a larger picture. We want to throw out the T-shirts and say, kiss me, I'm Italian, kiss me, I'm Irish, kiss me, I'm this, kiss me, I'm that, and get new ones that say, kiss me, I am you. But we are afraid to see sometimes exactly how we are all the same, because we're afraid that if we're the same, we will lose our individuality instead of recognizing we're part of a larger picture. If we lose our individuality from that limited perspective, we fear losing our very existence, because we view fear and love as being unrelated opposites when they're really very related aspects of an interesting flower. Because what is fear except the fear of not existing? Let's try this way. What is fear except the fear of not being loved? Therefore, what is fear except the fear of not being loved? And if love is our very essence and our existence, what is fear except the fear of not existing at all? Recognizing that we are in continuous existence with one another allows us to allow for those we love to exist in whatever planes they want, and to recognize that we exist on those planes along with them.
I'm going to go back and listen to this again, because something there is very important to me, and there's a little bit of resistance to me taking it all the way in. So I'm going to listen again. Thank you. Yeah, that's really, really profound. I so appreciate you sharing your heart in the way that you are right now. There were a couple of questions or things that I wanted to mention. One was that with this kind of healing, because you're essentially filling yourself and your the person you're healing or the people you're healing up with the light, there's no concern about protecting yourself, no room for superstitious type behavior. And that's been very important to me as a therapist, where people will go, well, what about evil? You know, and I have had the sense that if you really are filling up, there's no room for anything that one might call evil, and there's no room for something to come in and knock you off what you're doing.
Well, let's look at it this way. How about if we start to recognize that who we are is light? Start that way.
Okay.
Now, when we talked about the science, we found that when our health was diminishing, that light was dimming. When our health is coming back up, that light is coming back up. Light needs nothing to protect itself from, because darkness doesn't exist. What truly is darkness except the absence of light?
Mm-hmm.
What truly is, so you can't capture darkness. You can capture light, you can't capture darkness, because it's an absence of light. So when we do our healing techniques, we stand in fear, lack, limitation, the illusion of separation, the illusion of darkness. We're busy protecting ourselves in a white flame and a pink flame and a purple flame and shaking negative energy off into a bowl of salt water and spraying ourselves down with alcohol and pulling off imaginary and make-believe zippers and all moving clockwise instead of counterclockwise. And all of this protection places our attention on one thing, fear. But we can't give a gift we're unwilling to accept or receive ourselves. We can't stand in fear like that and truly facilitate healing that resides in love.
Mm-hmm.
Think of a candle, since we are light. Imagine a candle. You take a lit candle, and you take that candle and use it to light another candle, to light another candle, to light another candle. You never see that flame doing a technique. You don't see the flame getting sick, getting weak, ending up in bed for 3 days because it walked through the mall and took on everyone's emotional problems. You don't see the flame doing anything other than standing in its own perfection, essence, purity, integrity, the truth of what it is. And by standing in its own truth and essence, when you use it to light another candle, light another candle, it simply inspires the next flame to ignite, and the next flame to ignite, and the next. When we allow ourselves to become the light that we are, we're no longer standing in fear. We're recognizing that by being the light that we truly are, our very presence becomes the inspiration of the healing within others. And light can't take darkness on. If anything, the flame glows more brightly in contrast to the darkness or to the absence of light.
Hmm. Thank you. That is where we will need to end today. I want to thank you for choosing the life of service, for opening yourself to this way of perceiving and working in the world, and for telling us about it. So let me remind you who are listening that we've been talking about Dr. Pearl's books, Solomon Speaks, and also The Reconnection. And the website is thereconnection.com. And thank you so much for telling us so much about them and what they're in. Thank you for your time today, Dr. Pearl. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure as well.
So I want to invite you to join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Next week, I'm talking with Russell Friedman, who is the author of a book called Grief and Recovery from Pet Loss. That's August 6th. I look forward to having you with us then. Mike Cantor, working with Fresh Talk Media, has been our producer today. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Living with Eileen Dillon.